Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I want to begin, I'm going to speak for a couple of Sundays about the release of healing and miracles. One of the things that's concerning Susan and I is how much sickness that's in the body of Christ today. And, you know, we heard it just through the prayer and just a scripture being sent to this family after they'd been through probably what was a disappointing time. You know, several years ago in the church at Dyersburg, we had three families in our life that had been told by doctors they never would have children. And we also had a lady in our congregation at that time who had had two children, had her tubes tied, and her husband abandoned her. And then she met a godly man. And he wanted children, and she didn't have the courage to tell him she couldn't have children. And she asked God for a miracle, and she had three children. Three more children. And so on a Sunday morning that was Mother's Day, I just felt to have her pray for those families that could not have children. And within 4 months, every one of those families conceived. And most of them have multiple children today. Miracles happen. Why? Because we pray to a God that desires to answer our prayers. Come on, let's get out of this stuff. It's all about answer prayer. Why do we conduct here at City Gate the healing rooms on Monday night? Why are friend Ira and Francine Blackman faithful and Hope and Dodie and others who, you know, Hope, how far a drive is it for you when you come in? 45 minutes, close to it? That drives in on Monday night so people can come here. And it works off of the fact that God desires to answer your prayers. He told us in his scripture, he said, bring your petitions boldly before the throne of Christ. It's all about answered prayer. And I want to tell you, he's more eager to answer your prayer than many times we are to pray. You know, sometimes you can just get weary. You know, when I went through that battle and lost my dad, that was a hard battle. I mean, an 80-year-old man goes in for surgery, a man who had farmed 7,000 acres that year, and goes in for a surgery, and a doctor makes a mistake. And as a result of it, my dad wasn't healed. It didn't diminish my faith in God, nor did it diminish my faith in prayer. I am a man of prayer. I heard what Jim Ferguson said a while ago, and I agree with it, that everything rises and falls on relationship. You know, if you would ask me, my greatest strength, I'm relational. Amen? I had a guy that's incarcerated, called my personal cell phone this week. I didn't even know who he was. And, you know, it was one of those calls where they can call you from jail. And I pushed the right number, and it still disconnected. So he probably didn't think real well of me today. I don't know if he's able to get streaming, but I tried to take his call. Because I want to be in people's life. And I believe, but my greatest weakness is I'm relational. Sometimes I want to hold on to relationships when God's saying move on. But can I tell you more than that? If I would tell you how I've become, you know, I listened this morning to Jim's story a little bit about, but some of you know, just about the time I moved here and began this work 11 years ago, the Lord told me I'd put down getting my doctorate in my 40s, and the Lord said, pick it back up. So at 53 years of age, I went back and finished my doctorate of theology, which was, I have to tell you, I didn't want to. I didn't want to do all that study and write all that and, you know, and everything that I did, but God said, you will need this in the future, and I went back. We pay those prices. But if I would tell you why I've been able to get to where I am today, it's because, number one, my relationship with Him, but number two, because I pray. At the end of the day, I'm a man of prayer. In fact, sometimes you don't see me in the corporate prayer meeting as much because I'm so selfish about mine and His time together. You know, I said this so many times in recent week because I've been out preaching revivals in churches, but which voice in your prayer closet is more important, yours or His? I believe we're to bring our petition, but I want to tell you, sometimes it's just a scripture like they got, you know, that brought about a miracle, children. But it's God speaking to us in many different ways. But we're supposed to lift our prayers up to Him. And so today, I just want to begin and lay a foundation. And I'm going to talk about 8 reasons why healing is for today. How many people here have been healed of something by prayer? Or seen somebody healed? God is a healer. Listen, to say that God is not a healer is to say that God doesn't answer prayer. Anybody ever prayed for a better job and got it? Yeah. Amen? Anybody ever prayed for a better vehicle and got it? You know, we've kind of grown and prospered in the things of God. And man, we had some vehicles that it was doubtful if they were going to get us there. You know, we had one car. I mean, literally one time her and I on the side of a road, because I have a diesel mechanic background, before I say, we put a head gasket on, had a diesel engine in this car, and we put a head gasket. Little kid sitting in the back seat. You know, we had something cold for them to drink. It was hot on the side of the road. And I had the tools in the trunk of this Pontiac car. And, you know, we pulled. Why? Because that's where we were at the time. But God worked in our life as we've been faithful to pray. So let's look at some reasons why healing is for today. You know, it's sad when I meet people. Now, I want to do a disclaimer. Many people would call us a charismatic church, and we are free and live with that. But I don't like the word charismatic, because most of the time it means loosey-goosey and no foundation, and that's not what we're about. I believe there's a liberty here, but we're rooted and grounded on the Word. But you know, sadly enough, there's many traditional churches today that still teach that God doesn't heal. In the very denomination that I was born again in, I went just a short period of time after I got saved. Someone told me, said, read the book of James. If you want some wisdom in God, read the... Man, I'm telling you, God picked me up out of a pretty tough life situation. You know, I was hooked on drugs and a lot of things like that. And He changed my life and began to heal our marriage. And, I thought if there's some wisdom in there I needed, I started reading. And about that same time, my best friend, I mention him a lot when I preach, his name was Louis Francis McLean Jr. I just like saying that name. My best friend and his grandmother was sick. And I went to my pastor, because I had discovered in the book of James that it said, is there any sick among you? Let them call on the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith will bring healing to the sick. Come on. And so I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, you know, my friend's grandmother had a real, I don't want to say strange, but peculiar name. Her last name was Loudermilk. Now, you don't run into many of them. And I went to him and I said, Sister Loudermilk's sick. And I was reading the book of James where it said to get some kind of oil. I mean, I've just been born again a few months. To get some kind of oil and get some elders and go anoint her and pray for her. We don't need her being sick. Yeah. And my pastor, sadly, said to me, oh, son, God doesn't do that anymore. That passed away. And I was so young and so naive. I said to him, I said, Pastor, I guess I hadn't found that in the Bible yet. That was almost 40 years ago. I still hadn't found it. I just think it's sad. I'm not trying to make him out to be a bad person. But see, that's what religion does. It redefines truth to accommodate its weakness. God, to say that God doesn't heal today is to say that God doesn't listen to our prayers. I got up this morning to pray for my friend Crispin Bennett and his mother, who's in this battle with cancer, who possibly is watching by web streaming right now. And I'm so glad that when I went into that place of prayer, we didn't get into 1:30 this morning. I was in a service last night, and part of the worship team was in West Point, Mississippi. Incredible service where people were healed. But I was so glad when I got up this morning. I went out on our patio, you know, out in that, you know, how many of you noticed recently we don't have to, we can hydrate ourselves by breathing. The humidity so high. And I went out and sat and cut the fans on under it and just sat there and hydrated, you know, with that. And when I got ready to bring that petition before the throne of grace, when I began to lift up Crispin's mother for a miracle of healing to touch her, God didn't say to me, I can't talk to you, Clay. I'm talking to Jim Ferguson this morning. He's got my ear. Or he's talking to Jerry Berry. Or he's talking to Everett, or he's talking to Deborah, he's talking to Rita. No, I didn't hear that. Are you hearing me? I did not hear that. He listened to me. And not only that, I'm sure that not only did he listen, but he took it to heart. And I petitioned him. Let me tell you two things regarding healing. We'll get into this message just a little bit. Number one, all good gifts come from God. I'm just telling you, he's a good God. I don't know what your testimony is, but when I was a sinner, when our marriage was on the skids, when you know, my trucking company owed $784,000, it was terrible. We were losing everything. We were about three steps ahead of the repo man. I mean, it was a tough time. But during that time, he reached down to where I was, and he heard my cry. And, you know, when I tell people, you know, I've heard some of the greatest sinner's prayers, you know, like, Lord, forgive me. You know, here's my sinner's prayer. Jesus, they say you can change me, and if you can, you better do it. Because I can't stand the man that I am anymore. And I want to tell you, that didn't sound like a model biblical prayer, but it worked. He reached right down into my heart, and he took out that old stony heart, and he put a heart of flesh into me. And my life began to change, and it's still changing. See, conviction is what God does. Repentance is what we do. And redemption is the fruit of both those processes. And so that day it happened. The second thing I want to tell you, not all sickness comes from the devil. Not all sickness comes from the devil. Sometimes it's just the body breaks down. You know, right now my mother's on hospice because her body's not making enough blood. And the last time they went to give her a blood transfusion, her heart almost stopped and they can't do it. And so it's just a process of a matter of time. I don't really want to lose. She'll be 87 here this Saturday. We're going to see her on Friday. But can I tell you, she is at peace with the Lord. Will I miss her? Certainly. Amen? And why have thoughts about, my mother was a good mother. Why have thoughts about that? Certainly I will. But you have to understand, part of living is death. It's all around us. And we have to trust the Lord. Let me give you number one. You find this in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, which says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. First reason why healing is for today is because Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of sickness. Now, I want to fast forward just a minute and tell you something that I'm going to probably get a little bit more into next week. But Sue and I have really been petitioning the Lord about why there's so much sickness in the body of Christ. I don't want to tell you this is the only answer, but this is a answer. It's tied to unforgiveness. I believe the Western world, the church in the Western world, is some of the most unforgiving people that I've ever seen in my life. Let me tell you about unforgiveness. It's like an acid. And it only eats on the vessel that contains it. Your unforgiveness for someone does not affect them one bit. It affects you. And we've got to come back. But we also got to deal with some of these generational curses that have been handed down through unforgiveness. And that's a whole other subject that I'll get into as we get into this series that I want to do. Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing the body of Christ so sick. Now, let me just tell you, I'm bigger today than I need to be, bigger than I've been in some time. You know, this year I've not eaten as wise as I need to, but I began today an eating regimen I'm desiring to lose weight. But let me just give you something. I'm 62, and I'm the youngest 62 you'll run into. You know, I'm just telling you, I'm not boasting it, but I'm the youngest. I can still throw that leg over that Harley and do about 600 miles a day with that. Come ride with me if you think. I have a spiritual son who runs about 5 miles 4 days a week and bench presses about 240 pounds. And a few years ago, he rode with me to Arizona. And we left out of South Haven, Mississippi, and pulled into Wichita Falls that afternoon about 7 o'clock. And he walked up to me and grabbed me like this. I mean, he's like touching an anvil. I mean, he is, you know, he's probably 25 years younger than I am. And he grabbed me like, and he said, I want you to know the only reason I came on this ride with you is to prove I was a better man. And I'm not. He said, I'm done. He said, this is just too far. My blood pressure is about 130 over 72. I have health. My cholesterol is perfect. My triglycerides are perfect. I'm on no medication. You know why? Because I have not got any unforgiveness in my heart towards anyone in the earth. Listen, forgiving is a way of life. It's not something we just do. It's what we've already heard. It's who we are. Listen, when he said, forgive 70 times 7, that, he's not talking about something we do. He's talking about this needs to be perpetual. You need to live in it. Nobody is going to steal my peace. Nobody is going to cause me to trip and fall because of things that they do wrong. Have you been redeemed? If you have, you've been redeemed from sickness. Amen? I'm not talking about us living perfectly, that no sickness ever comes our way, but we have another promise that substantiates that. It says no weapon formed against us will prosper. My biggest battle, to be truthful with you, my sinuses. Man, I battle with them. I mean, it's just a constant thing of battling. This has been a tough year for sinuses for me. I mean, tougher than any year I've probably had in some time. And I'm just finally getting over a cough that just hung on. But he's redeemed us. In John chapter 3 and verse 14, it said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I want to debunk something you need to understand. Eternal life does not start when you die. It starts when you get born again. I'm just telling you, my eternal life started on March the 24th, 1981, and I'm telling you, I've been living in it. It's increasing. One day, yes, I'll step out of this life into a greater life, but I am not focused on the life afterward. To me, listen, I saw someone post the other day, said, heaven is our home. I don't know if I agree with that. I believe right now, this is my home. Are we going to be in a greater dimension of life and things? And I don't know about you. I don't believe we're going to float around on clouds and be lazy. I believe we're going to rule and reign. Come on now. And I know some of you put your petition in, but he heard mine first. The whole Caribbean is mine. Okay? I'm going to oversee it. I'm going to be able to eat all that fish and all that good food they have down there in the Caribbean. That's just as sound doctrine as some of the other things people teach, I want to tell you. Now, we don't have a real understanding of what it's going to be like, but I want to tell you this. We're going to enjoy his presence in a manner that we've not enjoyed in this existence. Number two, healing was prophesied. It was promised. It was declared. In Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, it said, we find the prophecy there. It speaks about healing. We also find it in Matthew 8 through 16, the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, that Jesus would take our sickness and carry them for us. This means Jesus paid the price. He took our sickness. I love it when he looked down off that cross. He said, "It is finished." Quit working to get something from God that he's given you. I remember in 2003, I came home. That year, I was not leading a congregation, and I traveled 3 weeks of every month and did 18 conferences that year. And I'd just been up with Harold Eberly up in Yakima, Washington, and did a conference. And I came in, and my granddaughter, Haley, who's now 15, isn't she? She was 3 years old. She crawled up in my lap, and she began to love on me, and she said, "Papa, you're my favorite preacher. And you've been gone so much, I'm not hearing you preach." And I just happened to have a video of the conference I just spoke in, and we plugged it in, and we started to play that video, and she would tell me, said, "Papa, oh, you're so good a preacher." And you know, I'm saying, and you know, finally I heard myself say, "Haley, what do you want? A Shetland pony? A Corvette car? You just name it." She wrapped me around her little finger. I've got news for you. You don't have to wrap God around your finger. He wants to answer your prayers. He wants you to understand that he wants to reach down and touch you. Can I tell you, it's not just about physical healing. Some of the church-going people are some of the most biggest emotional wrecks I've ever seen in my life. I know none of you that way. They're all over in Tennessee. Oh, wait a minute. Some of y'all came from Memphis. Forgive me. Can I tell you, God can heal your emotions. When I got born again, I was full of anger. Jim and his family doesn't know my testimony. You're tired of hearing it, but my mother and dad divorced the first time when I was 12. And during my lifetime, my mother and dad were married and divorced from each other 3 times. And every time they'd get another divorce, I'd get more anger. And every time I'd get more anger, I'd look for people to hurt. And I hurt some people. But one day, he reached down to me as I reached up to him. And not a moment. See, Jesus gave us some instruction. He said, "Be angry and sin not." Nothing wrong with being angry, but when you yield yourself to that emotion, it takes hold of you and you do things you shouldn't do. It's wrong. It's sin. And I gave him my anger. You know what he gave me? Joy. Gave me peace. He gave me a love for people. He gave me ability to just forgive until 490 times, then start over, forgive to another 490. And I have to tell you, I wouldn't live any other way. It was prophesied. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to, but can I tell you what? A lot of people want to treat God like a salad bar at Ruby Tuesday's. That's my favorite salad bar. They want to go through and they like a little of this and like a little of that, but no onions. I like the onions, but you know, you can't pick and choose with God. You either get the whole package or you don't get anything at all. He wants to be in our life. I keep telling you, and I'm not quite ready, but when I finish this series here, I want to do a series on learned behaviors and belief systems. But I'm afraid the church has got more learned behaviors and belief systems than it has relationship. Let me just tell you, our relationship with God is where it's at. You want to release healing? Increase your relationship. I love what Einstein said. You've heard me quote this. He said, "You'll never solve a problem at the same level of thinking you created it." This is my quote. You'll never resolve an issue at the same level of relationship with God that you were at when you created it. You got to go to another level. Can I just help some of you? Who here has been married less than, anybody here been married less than 2 years? Oh yeah, I just did your wedding, Rodney. I got news for you. It's the same thing in marriage. I promise you, every issue we've ever worked through in our life, and let me just tell you, that preacher that told you that marriage is made in heaven, they're not. It's made down here in the now and nasty. Okay? And there's an adjustment that you make, and you learn how to forgive. And let me just tell you, you've got to work at it. But we always go, once we resolve our issues, let the women feel good. Once I repent to her for being wrong, the men now hate me. If a man speaks in the forest and his wife's not even there to hear him, he's still wrong, okay? I have a T-shirt that says that. In fact, I wore that T-shirt when I was doing counseling for Ian. And when he came to me, I said, the sooner you learn this, the better your marriage will be. Number three. You know why that healing for today? Because we're the body of Christ. I want to show you how something works. It always amazes me how, and I'm not picking on anybody, but how people stay home from God's house when they're sick. How many of you believe God created this body to heal itself? Amen? Years ago, I was sawing with a handsaw. Man, you don't see that anymore. And hit a nail. And it jumped out of the wood I was sawing, and it sawed into the bone right there. I have a scar, just not much of one. My body healed itself. But how many of you also realize that Susan and I'm the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ as the Nash family. City Gate's the body of Christ. Colonial Hills is the body of Christ. And then there's the body of Christ universally. And God created us to heal. It says that we should assemble in Hebrews 10 and 25. We should forsake not the assembling in order to stir up love and good work. Let me tell you what love and good works is about. About getting healed. We need each other. I don't care what you're going through, I'm going through. You know, when, you know, my daughter's here, not trying to pull on her emotional strings, but when we lost our son-in-law, when she lost her husband, the love of her life back on October the 31st, I want to tell you, it was hard. But can I tell you, one of the things that's helped her and helped us is we're family. And we got a family here. And we got a family across the United States. Healing. Why is healing for today? Because he cares about us. We're the body. As part of the body, we're healed. Jesus is not sick today. He has paid the price, and we're part of his body. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 27 tells us as Christians, we're part of his body, and we need to realize he wants his body. He doesn't just want it healed. He doesn't just want it healthy. He wants it just full of vitality. Because let me tell you one thing that life kills. Death. You ever been around people just so full of life? I use this. I need a better example. Somebody come up with me one. But you ever been to a very tragic funeral? We were just at one the other day. Jess Ball's dad, you know, tragically an 18-wheeler. He was on his motorcycle and he was killed. He didn't get up that morning knowing that would happen. It was a very sad situation. But let me just tell you, every time we were around Judah, or we had Josephine there, we had Abigail there, we had what was the other little boy's name? Abel was there. Every time we were around those children, everybody would just flock to them. Why? Because there's life coming off of them. I want to be around people. You know, you can call me endorsing his candidacy or whatever, but there was life coming off Jim today. I'd already felt I'd heard from God, but I like what I saw today. Don't you want to be around people full of life? I don't want to be around these people that are gloom and doom and things. You know, can I tell you what? Things wouldn't be near. If we could get the state of Mississippi to pass a law that the news agencies could announce no negative news for 2 weeks, we could change this nation. We could change this state, and this state could change the nation. But people just flock to the bad news. Someone put the other day on Facebook that they've already arrested a pastor in Vermont for refusing to marry homosexuals. He's already been sentenced to 6-7 years in prison. That's a lie. I bet it. I mean, I searched it out. I went to Snopes or Snops, however it's pronounced. I looked there, and you have to be careful there because they don't always put the truth on it, but I've read it in three or four places, and it was not anything true. But see, people love bad news because it sells, and people want to impart fear to you so you'll get into this. I don't care what the news is saying. I'm going to believe what God said. Let me tell you what He said. He's for us and not against us. Amen? He's a healer. He wants to redeem us. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can think or ask. He wants to work with us. He wants to partner with us. He wants things to be good. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe DeSoto County is going to be a shining light. I believe there's a level of commitment to God and Christianity that's going to cause it to become a magnet. You know, when I first moved here in 2004, I don't know what the statistics have changed, but at one time, I read on the internet, not everything is true, but you read on the internet, but I read where 12 families a day were moving into DeSoto County. But I also read that 8 of them was moving from Memphis here. Is what the same report said. Why? Because they wanted to get away from the poor school setting. They want to get away from the crime. They want to get away from these things. We lived in a house for 11 years and just sold it for more money than we bought it for. Come on. That's DeSoto County. God's a healer. I'm going to close with this morning. We'll get into this more next week. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and repent and turn from their wicked ways, what did He say He'd do? He'd heal the land. Let me just tell you what's happening. God's healing the land. You know, as I heard, I agree. Y'all know I'm just who I am and I can't be anything else, but I agree with things that Jim said today and why he's running. But, you know, Susan and I had the privilege of being at the governor's ball when Phil Bryant was elected. And Susan and I had the privilege of going to the governor of Arkansas's ball. And when he shared his testimony, he knew that he knew that he knew that he ran. And this is not endorsing a candidate, but I read Scott Walker's announcement the other day of why he waited so long to announce his candidacy. I don't know who I'm going to vote for yet, but I love what he said. He said, because I waited until I knew God said run. I like that. You know what? Even if he's deceived, I still like that. Because he waited until he had a confirmation that that's what. And I read his whole candidacy announcement. And it was kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. I mean, I felt like after being at Asa Hutchinson inauguration and everything, I'd been to revival. He got up and shared how God had saved his family's life. When we were down years ago with Phil Bryant, I mean, it was just like revival at it. It wasn't like an inauguration you can think about because there was a center core of Christianity. I close with this. God is very interested in answering your prayers. He's very interested in partnering with you. He's very interested in being relational with you. Move out of your belief systems. I don't just believe that God healed. I know that He answers prayer. That's relational. And when you move from knowing about a God, see, I meet so many people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. People tell me all the time, you can pray whatever prayer. I just have to share this. I will close with this. Years ago, I had a friend who was severe diabetic, and he went into a diabetic coma. And I get a call. I get a call about 9 o'clock one night. He'd been rushed to the hospital in Dyersburg. And they were not giving a good report. His name was Mike. And I headed to the hospital. I just came in from somewhere. I was dog tired. I was, just didn't want to go, but I knew I needed to go. And as I walked into the emergency room, the ICU where he was, he had slipped into a diabetic coma. the nurse that was on duty there and the doctor was standing, the nurse said this to me, "I guess you come to pray." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Well, you can pray any prayer you want to. He'll be dead by morning." And I have to tell you, I got real close to backsliding. I didn't. And I looked her and that doctor in the eye and I said, "If you'll get out of here and give me about 2 hours with God, he'll leave his hospital tomorrow." And about the time those words come out, I was trying to reach out there and pull him back. It's like, why did I say that? I stayed there all night. I prayed every prayer I knew to pray. I petitioned God. And the next morning I fell asleep in a chair over there. And about 6 o'clock, Mike said, "Clay, what are you doing here?" And they checked him out and sent him home at 10 o'clock. It wasn't because of me. It was because God answers prayer. You say, "Why are you preaching this?" Because I want you to become a healing about to happen in somebody's life. Can I tell you? I'm not going to tell you I'm a good preacher, but you won't find anybody enjoys it more than I do. That's just the truth of it. But can I tell you something? Good preaching is not going to change this nation. We need some healings and miracles start happening. We need some things start happening that are supernatural, extraordinary. And I believe the prayers of the saints can cause God to release things that we've never seen before. And I believe we're right on the, Ian, I believe we're right on the tipping point of that. I don't want to go into it, but let me just tell you, last weekend in Coleman, Alabama, where I was preaching, and last night in West Point, we saw some things that would tip the scales, didn't we? I mean, God was, I mean, he was pretty rich there. And it was him. It wasn't us. It was just, we just had the privilege of going and partner with him. And we saw some very, very significant things. Where are you at today? Don't believe this junk. He's on the throne. Amen? And, you know, I'm sorry. It's going to upset some of you. I don't believe he's in control. But I do know he's in charge. There's a difference. You know why he's not in control? Because he gave us a will. And you can make wrong decisions and miss his blessing, or you can make right decisions and live in them. But nevertheless, even though he's not in control of everything, because of man's will, he is in charge of everything. And let me tell you, because he's in charge, he's leaning out of his throne to answer your prayers. I'll get more into this over the next couple of weeks, but if you won't, don't be afraid to impart the blessing by laying hands on people. Can I tell you, laying hands is not a charismatic doctrine. That's why, you know, when... what do they call the preeming babies that are born now? They're saying the more that they're held and the more that the nurses hold them and the more that the mama's hold, the faster they recover. That's because of there's life imparted through the laying on of hands. It's just that simple. So don't be afraid. I love when I used to fly 200,000 miles a year. I used to catch people. Come here, find us. I want you to walk like you're 89 years old across here.
I feel like it sometimes.
And I would just come up beside an older gentleman who was kind of making it through the Dallas airport. And I'd just lay my hand. I said, "How are you doing today? I just want to bless you." He'd pick up his pace. I'm just telling you, life is contagious. Stand to your feet. Jim and your family, thank you for being with us. We're so honored. And if you disagree with what I'm going to say, vote your conscience, but may you win. And may you win big. May you answer the prayers of those that want to see DeSoto County be everything. You know, I'm pretty sure what I'm going to say is true. I might be wrong, but our neighbor is Steve Waltrip is working to see that In God We Trust is put in every classroom and every school in the state of Mississippi. And I'm pretty sure that I was told that DeSoto County is the first county that every classroom now has that plaque in every classroom. I believe I'm right on that. Didn't that speak well? We're at the head of the state, and we're the first to do it, and they're working. And you'd be surprised how many school systems that don't have it there. And Steve and Kelly are working to try to raise money to get them bought and get them put. But may you win. Father, I bless your people today. I thank you, Father. It's a great day. Lord, I'm reminded of the Message Bible in John 1 and 14 where it said, and the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Now, Father, may these people go from here and become that Word made flesh in their subdivisions, their neighborhoods, their workplaces, the marketplace, even the restaurants we visit today. We just declare, Lord, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, the anointing of God is being released in a new fashion. And we just declare that we are people that know beyond a shadow of a doubt that not only do you desire to answer prayer, but you do answer prayer. So, Lord, let us increase our relationship in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to just close this. Who's in charge of the prayer teams today?
Marcus.
Who said that to me? Lord, Rebecca's here today, and she's in a battle with cancer, and I want the teams to lay hand on her, and we're just praying. We're standing with you. So good to see you, Rebecca. We're praying all the time for you, and we're just commanding that cancer that's in your lungs. We're just believing God. We're believing He's guiding the doctor's hand. But those of you as part of the prayer teams, get with her. If anybody else would like prayer at the end of the service for healing, for direction, for encouragement, whatever it might be, our teams will be over here at the front. Go in the peace of the Lord. See you Wednesday night when we have a special service here at 7 o'clock. Be blessed coming and going. But stand up, speak out, and remain standing for the cause of Christ.